Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. If you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Susie Ekman once again from the San Francisco Bay Area. She is the founder and CEO of Maker's Market, a purveyor of American-made goods for a new generation with an e-commerce site, 4 brick-and-mortar stores, and monthly outdoor craft markets around the Bay Area involving thousands of artists, designers, and creators. How cool is that? And Susie, welcome back to EPN.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me again.
And you're very welcome and a long time coming. Thanks for your time. So we talked to you back in 2016, but for those new to your company, can you give us a brief overview of your background and Maker's Market to kick things off here today?
Yeah, sure. So I was a business major at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo. After that, I had a 30-year career in high-tech and manufacturing consulting, and that was with Ernst & Young, and then I had my own boutique consulting firm. About 6 years ago, I decided to start Maker's Market, and that was because American craftsmanship had been such a lifetime passion of mine growing up in the South. So Maker's Market started as an e-commerce site in 2014, and then about 4 months later, we opened our first brick-and-mortar store in Union Square, San Francisco, and we've continued to expand since then. So we sell American handcrafted jewelry, men's and women's accessories, like, you know, wallets and purses, personal items like that. We sell clothing and home goods, things like products made from wood, glass, and ceramics. So each of our stores carries approximately 150 independent artists and makers. We operate under a typical wholesale retail model. It's very rare that we do consignment. So as you mentioned, we also do outdoor markets on a monthly basis at all of our locations. And at those markets, we usually have about 30 to 50 artists each month. And that's been a really great way for us to test the market to see what products people buy in that area before we bring those products actually into the brick and mortar stores.
Such an exciting report. A lot has happened since we've last spoken. And speaking of which, you've grown from 1 to 4 stores since we last spoke in 2016 in the most prestigious shopping districts in the San Francisco Bay Area. Can you tell us a little bit about those locations and how did you actually decide on these specific locations?
Yeah, sure. So the biggest decision criteria I use in selecting a new location is, will this new location strengthen my brand? Is it upscale? Is it unique? And then, of course, does it have enough foot traffic from our target demographic to support having a store there? So the locations we have Santana Row in San Jose. That's our oldest location. It's a stunningly beautiful high-end outdoor shopping district with a focus on trending local retailers like Blue Bottle Coffee, Marine Layer. They've got Warby Parker, and then, of course, us. Our second location is in Broadway Plaza in Walnut Creek. This is the go-to shopping district for the East San Francisco Bay, and we have a really great location there between Apple and Nordstrom's. It's a very, very high-end shopping mall that's also outdoors. Our third location is the Mill Valley Lumberyard. It's in Marin County, which is right across the Golden Gate Bridge. So this development I love. It's a very upscale, thoughtful, historic restoration of an old 1800s lumberyard. All of the tenants in that development relate to craft or art or writing in some way. So it's a very artistic community. And our store is actually located under the redwoods and built on top of a creek. So it's just beautiful. So the basic nature of the place as a place where people historically made things was a great fit for us. It's just very special and magical. So our fourth location is downtown Napa on First Street, and we are right next to the very popular Archer Hotel. So this is the first store we were able to design and build from scratch, and it's absolutely stunning. We've got concrete floors and white brick walls, reclaimed teakwood furniture. So I consider this our flagship store since it represents our brand's aesthetics so well. Napa is a very good fit for us with international visitors who appreciate handcrafted product and people who really want to bring home gifts that were made in America, you know, made in the wine country.
Such an exciting way to describe it, and I'm sure our listeners are anxious to get over to the San Francisco Bay Area when possible. So why do you think your stores have resonated so well with customers, and what is unique about Maker's Market?
Yeah, so I think our customers are drawn primarily to two things. One is the aesthetics of the store itself and the products we have in the store. And I think the second reason is the authenticity and meaning of the brand. So let me get into that in a little more detail. So number one, the aesthetics. So of course, even without knowing our backstory, when customers walk into our stores, it just feels different from other stores. Our stores feel very warm and cozy, and there's a cohesive aesthetic of what I call refined rustic, which is a modern, clean, neutral look. So we select products that use natural materials, are very high quality, and draw upon tradition, which is what I call heritage inspired, and products that feel maybe a bit nostalgic. So it just feels good when people walk in and see everything. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the branding. So once people are in the store, they become aware of what our mission is. And the mission is rebuilding the legacy of American made. So first off, most retail stores do not have a visible or meaningful mission, so that sets us apart right away. So our mission is that we celebrate and support local makers, artists, and creators. Because of our outdoor markets and the fact that we have makers working in our stores, it's highly likely that customers have met the artists who actually made what they're buying. And it just makes our world seem a little smaller and gives so much more meaning to the products they're buying, since they will likely, you know, see the artist's face whenever they look at that product and really know that they are helping that artist make a living by doing what they love. So also, in the past few years, consumers have really become much more conscientious about making thoughtful purchases. And it's really the buy less, but buy well mentality. They want to buy a product that is locally made and American made if they have a choice. And they want to buy a product that's unique and has soul and doesn't really feel mass produced. You know, we look for makers who share our beliefs in the importance of keeping American made alive and have a very intriguing story to tell. For instance, we've got a girl, Kirsten Munster, is one of the artists in our store. So she's a fourth-generation female metalsmith that lives in San Francisco and is carrying on this family tradition of metalsmithing. She even uses some of the tools that she received from her great-grandfather. So we really love these stories, and we share these stories with the people in our stores. It's great that we can provide these artists a retail outlet so that they can make a living carrying on these traditions. Some other things that customers appreciate when they're in the store that's related to our branding is the fact that we are very American made. So we search for products that are not only made in the USA, but are made with very high percentage of US content. And that's really important to us. Why? Because we want to make sure that our products have maximum positive impact on our U.S. economy. So when somebody buys product in our store, they're not only their purchases not only support the maker, but it also supports, the say, for instance, the rancher who raised the sheep for the wool that was used, and the farmer who grew the cotton for the canvas that was used in the product. So that's important to us. And I would say, you know, the last thing that people really appreciate about our branding is our focus on sustainability and ethical sourcing materials. And once again, people are much more conscious about buying products that support sustainability. So our products that we pick have a minimal impact on the environment and come from renewable resources, and repurposing existing materials as much as possible. So, for instance, we sell skateboards and wooden bowls that are made from reclaimed wood and like stumps remaining from decades-old clear-cutting projects. Most of our bath products that we sell use plant materials that were originally grown on the maker's property. We have other products that are made from recycled glass and recycled leather. We have purses that are made from old army blankets and uniforms. So, I mean, really the end result of all this is that in each of our stores, I would say seriously 10 to 15 times a day, we'll have customers say things like, oh my gosh, this is my favorite store. If I could buy everything here, I would. And I'm buying all my gifts here. So I would say our customers really appreciate and really get what we're doing, and that's what resonates with them.
Well, I can totally understand why you're doing so well and seeing a lot of success with all that information shared. That is awesome. Today we are with Susie Ekman, the founder and CEO of Maker's Market, a purveyor of American-made goods for a new generation with an e-commerce site for brick-and-mortar stores and monthly outdoor craft markets around the Bay Area involving thousands of artists, designers, and creators here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Susie, you've gotten a lot of press lately, which normally we don't see for a small business. Dwell Magazine named Maker's Market one of the top four American retailers for the last few years. You've been on USA Today's four-person expert panel along with big names like Etsy and Kickstarter to select the top 10 makers in America. That is quite impressive. And Maker's Market was selected as best retailer by San Francisco Magazine as well, and you were selected to be a national curator for the American Craft Council, and you were also selected as one of the 100 most influential women in the Silicon Valley by Silicon Valley Magazine. So how did you receive so much coverage, and do you have an outside PR firm? Talk to us about all that.
Yeah, this is so hard for a small business, let me tell you. This has been difficult for us. And I would say, first of all, we've been extremely fortunate with the coverage we've received. And to answer your question, no, we do not currently use an outside PR firm. So we did try to use an outside firm a little bit a few years ago and just weren't receiving positive ROI on the money that we spent on that. So we pulled all of that in-house. We are self-funded, so everything we do, I need to make sure it has a pretty quick and positive ROI. You know, we don't have the marketing budgets, and I can't invest in marketing for years that may never pan out. So it is literally me and my marketing manager, Heath Owen, who do all of the outreach on a limited basis. We don't spend a lot of time doing it. So I think our success in being selected for coverage, it really all boils down to the strength of our brand. Our initial branding, and that would include the imagery, the content, and our mission, I think was done very well, and we continue to strengthen our brand in everything we do. So we're constantly, you know, asking ourselves, does this fit our brand? Does this fit our brand? And if it doesn't, we don't do it. So I would say when media outlets do come across Maker's Market, I think the brand really sticks with them. And they get intrigued and they reach out. We also rank very well on SEO searches related to the word makers and American handcrafted. So, for instance, this is how USA Today found us. And I would say once I was published in USA Today for the expert panel on top makers, you know, obviously other media outlets see that and then they start reaching out.
I got to say, it's been really impressive to see what you've been able to accomplish and all the attention that you're getting locally there as well and nationally. That is, again, quite impressive. So looking ahead, what are your plans for the next few years? And do you see Maker's Market being the size it is now, or will you expand further?
Yep. So next on our radar is probably opening a store in Carmel. Our Napa store has been so successful with the international and the U.S. visitors. And I think the demographic in Carmel is similar and probably even better than Napa, because people are coming to Carmel to buy artwork in, you know, the $1,000 price range. I've always considered what we sell to be functional art. And from what I've seen, there's not another store that sells a wide range of functional art that we sell in the $50 to, say, $150 price point. So I think we would do very well there. Next, after that, we'll probably go to the Atlanta area, which is where my roots are, and honestly, where I draw much of the inspiration for the branding of the company, with, you know, the down-to-earth feel and the authentic living in the South. So right now, that's what's on our radar, I would say, for the next couple of years.
Certainly an exciting report. Sounds like there's never a dull moment in your line of work, and we can't thank you enough again for sharing some of the highlights and update here, joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. As we conclude, any advice for those tuning in, entrepreneurs tuning in literally from all over the world who are thinking about starting a business, what would your advice be in those regards?
Yep. So my tip for today is to go for it. If you believe in your idea, and if you have the know-how and the financial resources to pull it off, what I would say is, you know, surround yourself with great and qualified people who are also very passionate about your mission. For instance, I don't hire anyone to work for Maker's Market unless they are very passionate about what our mission is. You know, I won't hire people that just want to work in retail. So do that. Also, treat your customers well. Realize that it will probably be a long, hard road, probably longer and harder than you would anticipate. But if you relax, enjoy the ride, not set too many expectations on yourself, can truly be one of the most meaningful things that you can do in life, and you can turn it into your life mission, which is what I've done. So I would say go for it and just make sure to enjoy each day.
And coming from you, we certainly do appreciate those concluding remarks and advice. If listeners wanted to connect with you and also to get more information and shop around on Maker's Market, where's the best place online to do so?
So our online website is makersmarket.us.
The website that does it all. Again, Susie, all the best. Look forward to our next conversation right here on Enterprise Radio. Have a great rest of your day.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Eric. Thanks for having me.
Anytime certainly is our pleasure. We've been speaking with Susie Ekman, the founder and CEO of Maker's Market, a purveyor of American-made goods for a new generation. And for more information and to shop around, visit makersmarket.us. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.